Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, revisiting Mark's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Mark's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Mark, even though I read through Mark in 2020. The world has changed. I've changed, and so I expect my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying now. I want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me as we wonder about the earliest gospel. Yeah, it was written before Matthew, Luke, or John. I will do my best to keep my wonderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple of minutes long. You should know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I recorded 2 weeks ago. So if you want to see what I look like when I'm wondering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Search Norm Seeley, N-O-R-M-S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me at the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church in Ontario. So, let's see what Mark's Gospel has to say this time. And today we're finishing off Mark chapter 11 by reading verses 27 to 33. We would have finished it last week, but we spent 2 days on the earlier passage because there was so much. There was fig trees and then there was Jesus causing trouble at the temple. So that's how we ended up last week, and now we get the end of that chapter. Here it is. It's Mark 11, 27 to 33. Again, they came to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do them?" And Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? Answer me." And they argued with one another. I mean, if we say from heaven, then he'll say, then why did you not believe him? But then if we say of human origin, well, they were afraid of the crowd, for all regarded John as truly a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." So there you go. Once again, Jesus is clever and outfoxes those who would trip him up, right? I mean, if you've been following for the last couple of days, so Jesus has come to Jerusalem, right? We had sort of a downplayed, but the entrance into Jerusalem, a downplayed Palm Sunday thing. And Jesus went to the temple and then left the city for the night. Went to the temple, left the city, back to the temple. Here we are again. So Jesus is in and around. They know he's there. Yesterday he was knocking over tables and throwing up money changers. So he's back again. And the chief priests and the scribes are questioning him, which they should do. "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do them?" I mean, that's what they're asking. And so I could read this story, hear this story, as a story about Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes doing their job. Somebody's coming into the temple. They claim to speak for God. Let's see if they do. So on what authority? And that's nothing wrong with asking that. And I mean, the answer, you know, could be, well, you know, I'm a student of Rabbi so-and-so because we did that. We connect ourselves. So you could see where the learning came from. So Jesus could have answered that. He could have answered that, you know, I have the authority of my experience. He could say, I am one with God. He could reference anything he wanted to. Now, it's risky I get that because, of course, the rules they had around blasphemy and the things you could claim and not claim could be difficult. I mentioned on Friday, I mean, just having a coin with the Caesar's head on it, you couldn't take that into the temple. That would be a blasphemy. So if Jesus said, I am one with God, I am the Messiah, I am the Son of God, any of these things that we would say, that could well have been seen as a blasphemy, and that's a problem. So Jesus is not going to commit blasphemy, or at least he's going to engage with them first. And I appreciate that. But again, this idea that they're out to get him. Well, they are, but it is their job to get him. I mean, Jesus could be a charlatan. Okay, but then he reveals what's really going on. At least I think so. So he asks them the question, did the baptism of John come from heaven or was it of human origin? Now, let's remember, they weren't crazy about John's baptism. John was certainly critical of the Pharisees. Brood of vipers, I think he called them. And definitely appealed to those who were unhappy in their faith, disaffected of the temple, perhaps. So there's a rivalry there. So they don't like John. They do not like John. And I'm sure they sat around by themselves going, like, John is a fraud. I mean, if they really thought that John was a prophet from God, they would maybe themselves, the Pharisees, paid more attention to him. But they don't think he is. But they're not going to say that out loud because the people think of John as a prophet. So that's why they're stuck. Now, this could, I mean, I can hear this as a criticism of what was going on in the temple at that time, and I can carry that into a criticism for what goes on in faith communities to this day. The people believe one thing, the authorities believe another thing. And they don't acknowledge the difference. I can think about, it's easier to think about other churches. I like picking other churches more than mine. But I had this discussion not long ago with somebody about their church. You know, and how many of them within that church believe in what we call transubstantiation. So that is the understanding that in the Eucharist, the communion service, that the wafer or the bread becomes the body of Christ. All right? There is a change in substance. Okay, so I'm not talking, I mean, yes, Roman Catholics believe that, and so do Orthodox faiths do. The Anglican Church believes that. Protestant churches generally don't believe that. Okay, but I wonder sometimes how many people who are actually in the pews, who are actually receiving the sacrament, how many of them actually believe it? Because I know a lot of people of Orthodox and Roman Catholic and other high sacramental faiths who go, I don't believe it, you know. But I go, there's a disconnect there. I mean, as my wife once said, I mean, how is it that we can sit here in this Eucharist and everybody isn't bursting into tears at the moment of transubstantiation when that bell rings? Why are we, in the presence of such a miraculous moment, not weeping? And, I mean, there's lots of answers to that. We've become so accustomed to it, we no longer are in awe of it. And that's a faith exercise to find the awe. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what she suspects and what I would say tallies with conversations I have with people is many people who are there don't believe that. I don't mean this as a criticism because it's not just Roman Catholics. It's any highly sacramental mass or church service where the Eucharist is held. How many people there actually believe that this is a transformation, or how many people think it? Yeah, it's bread. It's a wafer, and it's lovely to do that. Now, what I would say, as I am now clearly criticizing a group that isn't my group, what I would say is, in response to my wife's concerns, like, why aren't we in tears? Why are we not in awe? So the thing is, when the leadership believes one thing, and I do believe the priests believe it, and the population, the people, believe another thing, well, then it makes it really hard for God to be present, because the people are not sharing the awe of the leaders. The leaders haven't communicated the awe, or they don't want to have that discussion, or they don't want to have that argument. What is, though, is there is a dysfunction. Jesus won't answer their question. Jesus won't tell them that he is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah, one with God, part of the Trinity. Well, you can't be part of the Trinity. You're all of the Trinity. But anyway, that's another discussion. Jesus won't tell them that. Now, we can look at that, yeah, because he's being clever. He's avoiding a blasphemy charge, not making get people upset. Yeah, but it's not going to be many more days until they're going to crucify him. So I don't see why he's too worried about that. It's why he came there, right? When I read the story, I think that he's not going to tell them that because they're not prepared to recognize God's presence, because they're not connected. The leadership believe a thing, the people believe another. And that's revealed when they go, yeah, if we say of human origin, crowd's going to be pretty upset because they think of John as a prophet. But you don't. They do and you don't. So either you need to learn from them, or they need to learn from you. And I'm going to suggest that it is their job, the Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priests, the elders, it's their job. They're the leaders of this temple. It's their job to bring the people together, either through education, teaching them, or by learning themselves and accepting the wisdom of the people. I mean, it's like, well, they're listening to God. Well, are they? Because God seems to be speaking through John the Baptist to a whole bunch of people, and now speaking through Jesus, they refuse to do that. They refuse to accept that. So I don't know that we're listening to God. I mean, God speaks to us in a variety of ways, including through other people. I mean, I will confess to at times being very frustrated with my colleagues who will post on social media, or who will, you know, in big discussions, talk about basically what they're saying is their church communities are, well, they just don't get it. God, if I have to hear that again, I'm so upset. They'll say, why won't the people let us be? And they'll go on about how basically stupid their people are. They're going to go to that community and change everything. They're going to change the world because they're going to motivate those people who are just too cloth-eared to understand. I rarely hear my colleagues say, I am going into a community and I am going to look for God in their midst. I am going to learn about God by listening to them. No. I have the education. I'm going to teach those poor people all about God. And I don't hear nearly enough of, I can't wait for them to teach me about God and learn from them. So that's the thing that actually happens in my denomination a fair bit, but I think it probably happens across the board. It's that disconnect. It's that disconnect where the leaders and the people are not communicating. They're not appreciating each other. The leaders don't trust the people. And the people don't trust the leaders. And we can have a chicken and egg discussion about which came first, but that's how it is. The leaders don't trust the people don't trust the leaders, and guess what? Jesus has nothing to say to them. At least when I read this story. When I read this story, what I hear is, if the leaders and the people are not connected, Jesus has nothing to say. Wow. Okay, I just turned that into a sermon. Not a problem. And a fairly angry one, too. You know, as I listen to the story, as I read this story, I'm also aware that sometimes, you know, authority is a tricky thing. I can tell you from whence comes my authority. And you might believe it if I'm a police officer with a badge, you know, or a degree from a university. Where is your thought? Well, I have a PhD from this place. Okay, maybe. But the authority that really matters, I don't know that you can explain it to me. I feel it in you. I trust it. I give you that authority, in a sense. You come and you speak to me, you are with me in a way that I trust you and I want to follow you. And the things you say ring true. And when you challenge me, I want to follow that. I want to lean into that and learn from it. So I give you the authority. Of course, the leaders of the temple had decided they were not going to give Jesus any authority, even before they'd met him. Same as John the Baptist. They heard about him and went, well, that can't be right. And so there's no room for authority. Now, as we read other Gospels too, you hear, well, we did this in John's Gospel just a little while ago, you hear this back and forth between Pharisees, some who believe, some who don't, and they're really struggling with how to feel about Jesus, because some of them were giving him that authority. Nicodemus came at night to speak to him. But as a whole, no, they're not giving Jesus any authority. Why? Because they decided before Jesus even showed up, we're not giving him any authority. Didn't give John any authority either. They decided that. Why? Because John was upsetting to them, hurting their feelings, I think. John wasn't a threat to Rome. Jesus, not really. Maybe you can see Jesus as a potential threat to Rome, especially when he just sort of marched into Jerusalem there and the people liked it. Maybe. But not an overwhelming threat. But they decided before meeting, before listening, before engaging, we're not going to give him any authority. And you think about that. I mean, whose authority do you actually recognize? People you trust. You get to know somebody and you give them authority. They can't come and claim authority. You give it to them. I mean, in this day and age, goodness knows, when everyone's got a YouTube channel, hello, here's mine, when everybody's got a YouTube channel, we regularly don't trust people that we used to with authority. I have a degree in this. I'm a scientist. I don't trust you. You don't know. I have this experience. Yeah, it's all deep fake. No, we don't. Authority is something that we grant people. And I guess I'm going to come away from this reading thinking a little bit about how do I actually grant authority? Like, what's the criteria for me to believe you, to trust you? I'm not really sure. But I know that the common position these days seems to be, I'm not giving anybody authority or nothing. In that situation, Jesus has nothing to say. When the leaders and the people are not listening to each other and learning from each other, then Jesus has nothing to say. And you see, for me, Jesus always has something to say, so I need to be working on, within my community, making sure leadership and people are connected and not just respecting each other, but learning from each other. And I need to help my denomination do that. And I need to help Christianity do that. I need to help faith do that. I need to help the world do that, I suppose, a little bit at a time. Okay, now I'm getting way beyond myself and I'm starting to babble. You know what? I'm going to cut it short right now because I can tell I'm going on a weird path. I'm going to leave it right where I am right now and simply offer a prayer. So let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this gathering, this time to wonder, collect our thoughts and listen not only to Scripture, but to what you are saying to us in Scripture. God, may this time of wondering be a time when we hear your word and we grant authority to that word that we might be changed. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That'll be me for the day, but I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Until I get to see you, God bless. See you soon. Oh, and by the way, you know that when I say God bless, it means that God sees you exactly as you are right now. And that God loves you as you are. But even more than that, God's love moves through you into the world in ways that change the world and actually can change you too. It's pretty amazing. You matter a great deal. God bless.